Okay, welcome everybody. This is the call. I'm going to call this meeting to order. This is the Hawaii Borough Council meeting on March 16th, 2023. Board members, staff, applicants, and testifiers can choose to participate either in person at Division of Forestry and Wildlife Conference Room on Northeast, 19th East Kauili Street in Hilo, or via Zoom. We got a quorum. Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. Can we have a roll call from all the members first, the council members?
Aloha, Kalena Blakemore from representing Puna, calling in from Volcano. Good morning.
Morning.
Aloha mai kakou. Trey Vanapiki representing Kilo.
Aloha mai i'ini kakala representing Hamakua.
Aloha la representing large landowner.
Yeah, and, Scott Mahoney, I'm representing Kohala. And the rest of you want to introduce yourselves to? Anybody else on this Zoom or in the meeting?
Good morning. My name is Marianne. Good morning, Chair Mahoney, Vice Chair Blackmore, and members of the board.
Yeah.
Aloha, I'm Charlotte. Charlotte.
Aloha, Kakahiaka Kako. My name is Keala Norman.
One more. Who's Claire? She looks like she froze out. That's okay. Okay, great. Ine, you can do the prayer again, please.
Thank you, no mahalo. Na au makua mai kala hiki a kala kau mai ko oku I a kahala vai. Nā au mā kua I ākahina kua I ākahina alo I ākakau I kalani. O ki hā I kalani, ue I kalani, nūnulu I kalani, kāhalo I kalani. Eia nā pulapula o kō kalāhui Hawaii. E mālama o kō I a mākō. E ulu I kalani, e ulu I ka honua, e ulu I ka pai aina o Hawaii. E hō mai ka ike, e hō mai ka ikaika, e hō mai ki akamai, e hō mai ka māpupono. E ho mai ka ike pāpālua, e ho mai ka mana. Āmama ua noa.
Āmama. Mahalo. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't wrap up the minute. I didn't have the minutes.
Prepared. Oh, okay, yeah, that's what I was going to ask you because I didn't see them. But, okay, so we just move that to the next meeting then. Okay. Before we start the business part of the meeting, I wanted to read out some of these pursuant sections. Pursuant to section 92-3 Hawaii Revised Statutes, all interested persons shall be afforded an opportunity to present oral testimony or submit data, views, or arguments in writing on any agenda. Additionally, pursuant to a policy adopted by the Borough Council in 2005, oral testimony for items listed on the agenda is limited to 3 minutes per person per agenda item. The other one, number two, is pursuant to section 92-4, 92-5, and SE-43.5 HRS. And upon compliance with the procedure set forth in 92-4 HRS, the council may go into closed meeting to consider information that involves the location or description of borough sites. This might be important to the two lineal applicants. The third one, a request to be placed on a borough council meeting agenda must be made with the borough sites program staff at least 2 weeks preceding the scheduled meeting date. In addition, the request must be accompanied by all related documents. Failure to comply with this procedure will delay the item to the following month's agenda. And the last one, interested persons can submit written testimony in advance to each meeting that will be distributed to the borough council members prior to the meeting. Submit written testimony to Jordan Capito with Shifty. Written testimony shall receive that is received later than 24 hours prior to the meeting will be retained as part of the record and distributed to the borough council members as soon as practical. But we cannot ensure that the council members will receive it with sufficient time for review prior to decision making. Okay, moving on to the business portion. Item A, descendancy recognition application of Marianne Amarad to the Native Hawaiian skeletal remains interred at Shifty number 50-10-06-22587, located in Lalamilo, Ahapua, South Kohala District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, parentheses 3, number 6-6-001:077. For the purpose of establishing and substantiating a lineal cultural descendant claim to the skeletal remains of the above property, the named individual below has submitted an application to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, State Historic Preservation Division, for assessment and verification pursuant to Hawaii Administration Rules Section 13-300-35. The administrative rules require that the applicant provide evidence of direct or collateral genealogical connections to certain Native Hawaiian skeletal remains. In this case, Marianne Amarad, the applicant, has submitted information genealogically connecting herself to who is buried at the above TMK. Shifty has verified that these documents through birth certificates, death records, census records, family genealogy, and the Hawaii State Archives genealogy collections. Therefore, Shifty recommends that the HIBC recognizes Marianne H. Amarad as a lineal descendant. Any comments from the council? Okay. Someone want to make a motion to accept her application?
I'll move to accept her, Marianne Amarad's application for lineal descendancy.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved to accept the application of Marianne Amarad as lineal descendant by Traven and second by Kalena. Any discussion? Call for the vote. All in favor, raise your hand. Okay, unanimous. So yeah, congratulations. Is that lady here?
Marianne? I'm here.
Oh, okay, Nani. I see you as Nani. Sorry.
I'm here.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, one thing. You know, the lineal descendant goes with a lot of kuleana, so I hope you take on that responsibility of preserving and protecting your ancestor. That's all I want to say.
Can I respond to that?
Well, yeah, of course.
I've been raised to make this my kuleana by my parents, and I've also raised my children to do the same. So my heartfelt love to all of you. I just am speechless at this point that I can now go and see my tutu. Thank you so very much, Chair Mahoney, Vice Chair Blackmore, and members of the board.
Mahalo, thank you. Thank you very much. And congratulations. I know they're well protected now. Okay, moving on to item B, descendancy recognition of, wait 1 second. Descendancy recognition application of Carolyn K. Norman to the Native Hawaiian skeletal remains interred at Shifty number 50-10-6-22587, located at Lalamilo Alpua South Kohala District, TMK parentheses 3, number 6-6-001:077. It's basically the same as Marianne, but for the purpose of establishing a substantiating lineal cultural descendants claim to the unidentified skeletal remains of the above property, the named individual has submitted an application to the DLNR and SHPD for assessment and verification pursuant to Hawaii administrative rules. The administrative rules require that the applicant provide evidence of direct or collateral genealogical connections to certain Native Hawaiian skeletal remains. In this case, Carolyn, the applicant, has submitted information genealogically connecting herself to who is buried at the above TMK. SHPD has verified these documents through birth certificates, death certificates, census records, family genealogy, and the Hawaii State Archives. And let's see. Therefore, SHPD recommends that the HIBC recognizes Carolyn K. Norman as a lineal descendant. Any comments?
Just wanted to ask if Carolyn or Keala Norman wanted to speak at all on behalf of her ohana and getting recognized. And Nani too, if she had anything more to say.
Yeah.
Aloha, mahalo nui, honorable council members. Just so that you can get familiar with who I am, and I have been involved with the Kuleana of Malaman in Aiwi Kupuna for 23 years now. I am also a lineal descendant out there at the Hokulia Project. Been very active here in Honolulu on many projects. And in fact, I have to shoot over to Kaka'ako at the Howard Hughes Corporation properties for a recent Iwi Kupuna finding. My ohana and I have been very, very active in the the Kuleana for several decades, going on 23 years. So I appreciate this council here today and humbly ask that you recognize me as a lineal descendant to my kupuna buried on that TMK. Mahalo nui.
Mahalo, Carolyn. Like we discussed earlier, a lot of kuleana, it seemed like you've accepted that for 20 plus years. So I know they're in good hands. Okay, anyone want to make a motion to accept?
I'll make a motion to accept.
A second. Okay, there's a motion to accept Carolyn K. Norman as a lineal descendant. And by Kalina Blakemore and second by Law. In the discussion, not a call for the vote, raise of hand. Unanimous, passed. Congratulations, Carolyn.
Mahalo nui.
All right. Okay, item 6, discussion of Hawaii Borough Council membership roles and responsibilities. I don't know what we can do with that, but anyone want to comment on any of this stuff? Okay, moving on to item 5, communications. Request by Claire Lotinsky and Cindy Freitas to consult with the Hawaii Island Borough Council to discuss Iwi Kupuna concerns in Kalu Alpua, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK. Parentheses 3, number 7-8-014:019. I guess I'll take Claire, you can go first. Hello? I think you're muted. Let me see. Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Is clear on Shala. Is that you? Same person.
This is Cindy Freitas.
Oh, Cindy Freitas.
And using Shala's computer, and she's here too.
Okay.
Aloha.
Okay. Before you talk, I just want to make sure that one person talks and say whatever you got to say, and then we move to the next person.
Yes, exactly.
Nobody interrupt.
Okay. Please hold all questions as we go along.
Yeah.
Aloha, I'm Cindy Freitas. I'm a Kanaka Maoli descendant prior to 1778 of the indigenous people. Born and raised in Hawaii, and a culture practitioner. We are here to talk about Lot TMK 7378:14:19 and the other TMK 378:14:013. This land was granted to Hua'ana, and which she had Lot A, and Kaukihelani, which he had Lot B. Why we're here today is because of there was Ivi Kupunas on that lot. We have pictures of the Ivi Kupuna. And in this picture, it was wrapped with kapa. On the kapa, there's genealogical ties on that. So I went out, that land actually called us to come down. So when we saw what was happening with the bulldozer was in there, we talked to the person of that bulldozer, that there's Ivi Kupuna. And he told us that he was instructed by the contractor to go ahead. He asked him to go cautiously. He told me again that he was instructed to go ahead. On 9/7/2022, approximately 10:13 a.m., I called Shifty and left a message with Sean. Then I couldn't get a hold of him. On 9/7/2022 at 11:07, I talked to Valerio at DoCare and told him what happened. I even left the same message about the EV, told him what's happening. Larry said he'll get back to me. On 9/8, again, I called Valerio. He said he gave him to his supervisor's office, which is Hina, waited for a call back. On 9/9/22, I called Colin Burgess, which is the developer, and I told him what I saw. And he said he was instructed by the owner to continue work. We tried numerous times to keep calling. I even called the planning department, talked to Libby to get a director or someone out there, inspector, to stop them from destroying the EV. Nobody answers me. Finally, I get a call back from Ho'opi'i, which is DoCare, on 9/15/22. And ever since then, it was a phone going back and forth with no response. Our concern is there's many EVs on that lot, both lot adjacent to each other. The EV was located on the boundary of both lots. And today there are still many EVs there. We are trying very hard to ratify this, and we exhausted our remedies, and that's why we're here today in front of you. I also asked for records from Stacy Nipple of Shifty's Librarian Archives about the recent AIS reports or any type of mitigation or recommendation. She said there was none. I'm requesting that there be an AIS and a recommendation and a BTP for that lot. I also request that you guys do a site visit and a follow up on those, if possible. Mahalo. I'll give you to the next person.
Oh, one second. Hold on.
Thank you.
Anybody want to make comment from the council on what she just said? Go ahead, La.
Kea, are you on?
What was that?
Oh no, I'm trying to get Kea.
Yeah, I'm here.
What is the background on this property that they were trying to get a? Do you know more, or did Sean talk to you about it at all? What's going on?
He did
on?
Never call me back as of today.
No, no.
Kalamai, I'm sorry. I'm just asking. Kea.
No, you're talking to Kea.
Because if Stacy said there's no records, like there's no BTP. Do you guys have more information from SHPD that you can give clarity on this?
There was an AIS done on lot 19. When was that completed?
I don't remember.
I haven't spoken to Sean about the project, but I think Nicole spoke to...
Louie?
No, Nicole Mello.
Nicole Mello.
Yeah, I think she was talking to one of them about the project.
And there's just an AIS for one of the lots, but not the whole parcel.
They're two separate parcels, that's why.
Okay. They're right next to each other though?
Yeah.
And then the AIS that was done, that you don't know what year that was or who did it.
No, I don't know what year it was.
But okay.
Who did it?
I can send it to you guys. After the meeting, I don't have it on me. I have it in the office where they're burials.
And there's no AIS for the other one.
From what I've read in there, they did do testing, but they didn't find any signs of burial.
Did they do consultation with descendants, though? For any records or oral histories or anything like that? I mean, I know you guys said you don't know too much, but...
The AIS wasn't completed. Like within the past 5 years, was it?
I don't think so. I think it was older.
That'll be something I think that'll help us understand more, is just knowing that info. Can Nicole get that to you guys and you distribute? Because if there's no AIS for one of the properties, that's...
I have it at the office. I can send it out when we get back to the office.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Thanks a lot. I want to make a comment too. I got to give Cindy credit for documenting all of that, all the things that she had to go through and try and get this thing resolved. You know, I was surprised how many people she tried to reach and all that, but we had a disadvantage because we have no paperwork on what you're talking. So when you're talking to the board, it's really hard to understand. All I'm hearing is about the EV. That's our concern, right? So if we can get that thing moving with the process that SHPD requires to get all of this done, I know you've been trying. So you know that's the hard part, to understand your discouragement and stuff like that. Just trying to get this thing resolved and not getting any headway on that. So, if we can get this thing moving in the right direction, you know, with a process, you know, that's, we only deal with the end process, right? You go through all of this process, you know, and then it comes before the borough council, you know, so we need to get that part moving in a good direction. Go ahead, La.
Yeah. And Kalamai, sorry to interrupt you, and also just to be clear, the things that you're not getting communication on or you're feeling confused about and that you need more information on, that's coming here and letting us know that, you know, we recognize descendants, we make determinations on preservation in place and relocation for previously identified burials, and we make recommendations on burial treatment plans and burial site components of preservation plans. Other than that, what we can do is support you guys, put you in the right direction, or on our end, make that contact, get you the information you need. So for example, right now we're thinking, okay, we need more background info. We need the archaeological inventory surveys, if there's burial treatment plans, things that you guys have been trying to get, we can help you get those. And then, you know, Kea and Chris can help you guys through that process too. And then we can make sure that you get the information you need, you're able to communicate with the right people so that you can address the issue directly and not get thrown for the loop that you guys are kind of feeling like you're in right now. So we can support that end. And that would mean that right now we need to get that information so we can see what's going on so we can help you better with more context. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Okay, wanna hear from
I have a question.
Who's that?
Cindy.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Sorry. I don't know. I see.
You know what? We submitted all documents in the HICREST. It's under 2023 PR. I think 0000227.
Ask if we can finish.
Everything is in there. And we're going through the process already. It's under review right now.
In 3 months.
And it's been 3 months.
Yeah. Can we finish our presentation?
But can we? We got two more people here that we got the linear descendant that want to speak on behalf of this issue.
Well, the only one I have on my agenda is the next one is Claire. So I want to hear from her.
Claire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, Claire.
Aloha. My name is Claire Loprisi. I am a cultural indigenous practitioner that's been working with Hanau for 51 years. The descendants of Kaalu are born into my hands, their family's hands. This issue right here is, I hope you can see this. Can you see this? All these pictures are on the HICREST, but you see the cave and the light and the whole kupu in there. I'm not sure if you can. So when we got there, when we were called to go there, we did our protocols. We do the best that we can do in all ways. I have a deep concern of generational trauma and more generational trauma because I know what happens to babies. This is my life. I've been passed down this work for 8 generations in my genealogy. And this whole kupu, we came there, we came on, there was a bulldozer there, and we asked him to cease and desist. And we knew where we were. Shaula's testimony will give a little bit way deeper into Kaalu because that's where she's from. But when we went there, we did our protocols to the best that we could. And we had the pu and we had the pahu and pu kanaloa from the mauna that was given to us to do this work. The kanakaolia ohana. And we went in and I was doing the pahu afterwards. So it's also given as a pokupu. As a makana, that was also given. And it took me inside that cave, into that hole. And I knew you had to be little. I'm little. And I knew that who could get in there. Now you're going to be able to hear from Shaula's testimonies, from her exhibits that we've gone to, because she is a lineal descendant, and also Lily Kong and Kepamale. They all wrote about this place. And so I remember thinking, oh, I'm in that cave now. And I moved in there and then I was like, oh, how long is this gonna be? And you're gonna hear from Shaula what is in that cave. But all I can say is that I even wonder now, you know, after we said cease and desist, because we stayed there for a long time. Every single time Cindy called, I called. And so I'm not putting the blame on anybody. I understand communication. I understand, you know, how much you guys work. And I appreciate all of that. But we wondered, even after this, they kept demolishing. And they cut right through. They should have known. Anybody would have known that was the cave entrance in there. And from this picture here, if you see this here, you see, there's the big pohaku right there is the cave that I'm showing you. And over here is the well. And Shaula will talk about those on the site. But these well and this right here, this archaeological, it's, oh yeah, she's not going to talk about it, but I'm going to state that. But these pictures were right there when we were there. You can see that it was July and 22nd. So that's why we were, you know, from there to September, just it for me as a cultural practitioner of Hanau for this many years, I know what falls on these children. I know what's coming into my hands. I know we're not working machines and questioning whether we understand the ike that's coming from this ceremony. These are customary cultural practices that have never changed that we're doing. So these descendants, it was very serious for all of us, for all of us that were there. So I think I'm gonna shift over to, and then I'm gonna shift this over to Shaola now to do her talk. And if you have more questions, you can hold them for later.
Hold on. I'm just dealing with people on the agenda. Right now, Shaola's not on this agenda, but
well, she's anyway. The lineal descendant. Then I have to read hers.
Well, you're gonna have to bring her in another time, maybe. But let's make comments on what you said. Okay, anybody has suggestions or comments on that?
Okay, then I would finish then. If she didn't do this, I would finish that all of this is documented in conversations between Lily Kong and who is all of our mentor, especially to someone that she raised like Shaola. But descendancy.
Hold on. Let's make comment. I'll let Shaola talk because she made the effort to come. So any comments on what Claire said? Good, Kalina.
I just listening and trying to track and follow. And so there's two lots. There was one AIS that was completed a long time ago. No EV were discovered, so no BTP was generated. So our hands, it's okay. You don't have to hold that up. Okay. You don't, it doesn't op, you know.
Kalina, you're muted.
Kalina, you got muted.
You guys keep mentioning Hycris, and we have no authority whatsoever to go into Hycris. So you can scratch that off the list. The only people are like shifties, archaeologists and other state workers have access to that. That's confidential, private. So we can't help you or go into that area. We are more of a trigger now because since some of the safety net didn't catch what you guys identified last summer, that the state archaeologists didn't return a call, you have requested that you have a site visit. So the Kona representative, burial council member, hopefully we'll be able to come and do a site visit with you and just basically illuminate and shed light, you know, the flashlight on the what's happening. What you guys experienced isn't normal. Technically, Shifty should have responded. Docare should have come out, made a report, seen the EV, and they should have shut down. Are you listening, Claire? I just want to make sure you guys can hear what I'm saying. Otherwise, I won't bother.
I'm just repeating what you're saying just so Shaola can hear because we only have two ears we're sharing.
Okay, gotcha. Just that this is good that you guys came. There's a trigger. Hopefully our Kona rep and maybe our chair can accompany and do a site visit. If chair cannot, I can, you know, volunteer to accompany the Kona rep so that we can go. And now I see Kea raising his hand up. So I'll zip it, but I just wanted to say, you know, we can do what we can to support. And yeah, there are some things that aren't in place that should be, and we cannot get into Hycris. So it means nothing for our council per se.
Good. Thank you, Kalina. Go ahead, Kea.
So I spoke to Nicole Mello, the other Shifty archaeologist. She went out in September of last year. She didn't say who it was. She spoke to somebody who called with a complaint, but they didn't want to give Nicole their name. They said they wanted their name to be confidential. But Nicole went out with DoCare. She stopped work on parcel 19 because she said she went out in response to a cave. She also told me there were two AISs done for 19 and 13. None of the AISs identified burials. Not to suggest there are no burials present, but that the AISs didn't identify burials. But Nicole did go out in September with DoCare. She halted work on parcel 19 but she let the work resume because they weren't in an actual violation of anything at the time. And lot 13, when she went out, was being used as a staging area to hold the machinery. So Shifty did go out with Dokir in September. And there were two AISs completed. So I just wanted to give you guys that info.
Okay. So where's Shala? Do you want to talk?
Yes, Shala. Aloha.
Hello.
I'm a lineal descendant of Kahalu'u, Oshala Tualalele Ko'uinoa. My tutu was Isa'aka Lanai, who was a kahu steward of Hapaeli'i Heal in Kahalu'u, documented through oral history that is recorded of my kupuna. The birth of a family member on the Heal holds a monumental place in our family history, as well as how connected our native Hawaiian people were to nature and the elements. The celebratory practice of traditions were customary of welcoming. New life and the birthing of babies were practiced in this special place. My mama Rose was a healer, an indigenous cultural practitioner. Her sister Haumea Smith was very integral in contributing to oral history of Kahalu'u and many other special places, along with both of their dear friend, Auntie Lily Kong. They all were well-respected kupuna in our community of Kahalu'u and Keoho, and we heard many stories. The connection to place was so important, along with the preservation of Na'ivi of my ohana. The utmost respect and care were given to Na'ivi kupuna that were buried close to their homes and other areas in the Kahalu'u historical district. Many of our cultural customary practices are still done today. And there is an exhibit that we submitted, see exhibit 12, Mitro Fujisaka. My kupuna walked through many of the caves in Kahalu'u and no doubt knew where Pekoa and Kainapehu are, lot 13 and 19. They were aware and saw firsthand where Na'ivi kupuna were laid in these caves. There's also an exhibit, A17, page 34. They were aware of the directions within the tunnels of the caves and were observant to sounds of the waves within the tunnel that housed Na'ivi kupuna. And I encourage you in the exhibit, page 34 again, I quote, "When you go down inside, get the tapa cloth inside, matu." These are the words spoken by my kupuna, Uncle Richard Smith, who was the son of Tutu Haumea. And he says, when they walk through these caves, over time, our land has been sold, developed, and we continue to see the desecration more and more. We're hoping that you, the burial council, will say no to further development, especially around the Ivi kupuna. Many of the Ivi now has turned to dust and will be destroyed with future development. If we don't stop them now, our kupuna will. We ask that the archaeological surveys be done and that due diligence be done. We mahalo all of you. My question is, where and how do we, and my kupuna who are still living, where do they go to continue their cultural practices to malama alama, these Na'ivi? The development that sits on it today, we ask that maybe it be removed. We demand access, that covering of these things sacred needs to be protected. Mahalo all of you for what you do. Thank you so very much.
Mahalo, Shala.
Thank you.
I have a question. What Shifty, anyway, what do you think the process that these women are, where are they now and what can they do to get to, you know, to some kind of, you know, satisfaction? What part of the process are they missing? Or has it all been fulfilled already?
They can submit an application for a lineal or for a cultural descendancy claim.
Okay.
Do that, you know, for that parcel, we need to identify the Ivi.
Right.
And so we need to know if the Ivi are there or not. Two AISs were completed and no EV was identified. And I'm not saying that that means no EV is present, but that, you know, no EV were identified and a burial treatment plan gets triggered by the EV identified in the AIS. The other thing is, you know, if we had concrete evidence that EV was present and we could go to that particular spot, you know, we can do a burial registration and possibly do a burial treatment plan because there is development work going on. But, we need reason. We cannot just go out onto the property and stop all the construction, you know, say we're going to go walk around to go find the EV.
Right.
Okay. Can we answer that?
Okay. Thank you.
Can we answer those questions?
Well, first of all, I'm confused because Cindy said that. I mean, I thought she said that they actually saw Tapa and Evie in the cave, but now from listening to Charlotte, like it was like information that was handed down from generations, from ancestors or your kupuna. So did you, I mean, did anybody ever see the tapa wrapped, I mean, the ear wrapped in tapa? Or is it just from oral history? Because according to the AIS, they found no evidence of EV. So that's the confusing part. I just got, I don't know if I went wrong on that, but I just wondering how one said one and the other one said another. Go ahead, La.
Okay.
La, go ahead.
So from what I'm understanding from Kea, and to Claire and Cindy and Shaula, what would be the best move forward right now for you guys is to, first and foremost, Shaula, if you aren't already familiar with the process for descendancy claims, maybe working on getting paperwork together. But like Kea said, first there needs to be an identified burial for you to make a claim for descendancy. So I would say working towards having some sort of documentation and going on property and saying this is where the burials are, so that you can go through the burial registration process. And then from there, after the burial registration process is done, then you would be working on the BTP. And at the same time as working on a burial treatment plan, you would also be working on your descendancy claim application, getting your paperwork together, your moku oha or histories, whatever you have to document your ohana's ties to that area. And then you would connect that to the individuals buried and at the registered burial site. And from there, you have a lot more teeth in how you can move forward. And then of course, when the burial treatment plan is being developed, that'll come to us at some point. And we'll have recommendations to provide and you'll be consulted. But the first thing you have to do is get your documentation together, go out and with Shipti and say, this is where the burials are. And they can support you in that. And I know they want to. It'll probably be Nicole and Sean, but going out in on a site visit, going out with them and saying this is where they are will help them support you, because right now they don't have as much information as they would need to do that. And sadly, with our processes, if the AIS was done, and we see it all the time, especially the older AIS, they say, oh, nothing, or oh, that was just habitation, or that's just agriculture. And a lot of times we find that they're wrong. And that they were doing things a certain way to shuffle it through for the developer. It's not always the case, but in order to mitigate that and make, you know, make pono, you got to kind of go through this process. But that would be what you would do next.
Mahalo nui for that. I will be connecting with my kupuna, Uncle Mitchell Fujisaka, who has been prominent in taking care of the EV in Kahalu'u. So I will sit with him. I will see what is documented. I know there is a lot of oral history, and the uncle that I referred to is documented in oral history with Kepamali, Uncle Richard Smith, and that's why I put it there in the exhibit. But mahalo nui for that. I will connect with my kupuna. Because, you know, I come today just carrying all of that because of what was given to me, the palapala, by these uncles who walked the cave. So I will make that my kuleana to sit with him and get all that in place. Mahalo nui.
Okay, Draven.
Real quick, I just want to clarify, mahalo for sharing all that. Have you guys physically yourselves seen the Ibi?
So as you, what I've shared was really through the oral history of my kupuna that was given to me. So Uncle Richard does state in the oral history, he was around 10 years old when they went down into those caves. It is documented what he's seen, and I encourage you all to see the exhibits. And it is documented through oral history. But I will get together with Uncle Mitchell. Uncle Mitchell was mentored by Tutu Naluahine, who was a kupuna, well-respected kupuna there in Kahalu, as well as Henry Kekahuna. They were students of Tutu Naluahine. Uncle Henry Kekahuna is credited for many of the maps of the Heiau and different places there in Kahalu. So I will do my follow-up. I mahalo all of you.
Ask them if they can't
see. One thing I got to say, one big obstacle in all of this, you know, is the Ibi. You know, so right now, nobody knows where the Ibi is. So even trying to be on cultural or lineal descendant to what, you know, all of those has to connect directly to Ibi. You know, so now if you say, well, the Ibi might be here because, you know, I mean, I'm totally with you on all of that stuff, you know, but, you know, since nobody saw the Ibi and they went down and did the AIS, they found no Ibi. It's, you know, what is the, why pursue lineal or cultural when you don't have Ibis to attach yourself to? You know, hopefully we can resolve all of that. As far as you've been lineal to the area, you know, I don't see no problem. I mean, you got the oral history down to me, so.
Anyway. And I think that's where I came in to just support the work that Cindy and Declare has been doing, you know.
We saw the puka, but you saw that cave.
No, he's seeing
and the Ibi, and then you have that tapa that you can talk about that's on it, Cindy can. Yeah, you can show them. We have the tapa, but we didn't crawl into the cave because we thought things were going to stop. And I wouldn't crawl into those caves anyway. I'm not from Kaalu'u. And so we those caves are now underneath this house, you know? So it's underneath, you know, the whale and the cave. I mean, there was no, how could they have done an archaeological report and not seeing the whale of the area? I mean, I've shown you the pictures here. I mean, it's, so you can talk about the tapa, Cindy.
But right now, wait, hold on. Right now, all of that stuff is outside of us. You know, I mean,
right.
I know you guys point, but right now, if you come before the council, you have to go through the process, which law tried to direct you guys to, and Shifty is willing to help you guys. So if you guys can go through that process and then come back before the council, I think, because right now we just looking at pictures you guys trying to put up on the screen and saying this and that. We need to study or learn about what we're talking about. Right now, you know, I think as a the council, we really don't understand because, you know, you guys just talking about stuff like that. And I think go through the process and then come back. You know,
okay,
come back
so in us. Going through the process, does that mean that cease and desist is happening right now? So no.
Well, you can no see this seemed like the house got built right over it. Already, right?
Well, there's thousands of burials right behind the Kukini walls right there. There's lot, okay, well, the other lot, well, so they want to develop.
Now we're getting off the subject again. Just follow the process, and then I suggest you guys bring it before the council again and at least give us documents where we can study and read and understand what you guys are talking about.
Okay, so just to get a little bit more clarity, we tried 3 months ago to follow the process and make the calls and do everything. And so when we did, then we were told that we had to go through HICRIS so that before we did that. So then we went through HICRIS and that was we're educated now on how to do a map, but is there any way that we can share or give permission for you all, because everything's on HICRIS, all the pictures, all the laws. I mean, we worked months on that. Can we give you guys permission at to open up that?
Not really. Okay. No, not really, because like we have nothing to do with HICRIS. Go ahead, La.
The one thing that will deal with all of your questions and will address all of the issues you guys are going through would be to set up some sort of site visit and point out where the burials are and get those burials registered. The HICRIS submission process can be long, but it is an important step and you've done that. And we have three responsibilities on the council, and none of those have been initiated in this consultation that we're doing with you guys. All we can do right now is support you guys going to the right place. We're not the right place to address some of your concerns. But what the first thing would be, get the burials registered. And then Nicole Mello, Sean Nale Maile, Kea, Jordan, they're the people who are going to help you through this process. And what we can do is follow up with them. We can just check in, see how things are going. What we cannot do is look at the HICRIS submission. What we could do is just go on the site visit with you. You know, have a couple of our council members join you folks. But we can't take you through the registration process. That'll be shifty. So from here, we're now, because you came, we're aware of what's going on and we can support you addressing the issue. We cannot actually directly do anything as council members ourselves. It's going to be shifty. Mm-hmm. But they'll, number one thing, going out, getting the burial registered, like Kea said, that's going to be that has to happen before anything else can. Until there's a burial identified, nobody is out of, no one's in violation of anything. And that's the process that we're put through. So really got to get the burials registered. And that'll be through a whole different process with Shifty.
So all the work that was supposed to be done with being in the Kahului Historical District in an SMA, all of those things were done, the EIS, the AIS, all the archaeological studies, those were all done before they started?
From my understanding, yes. The two EISs were completed for parcel 19 and parcel 13. I know earlier, yeah. There were two EISs completed for each parcel.
So they didn't see the well? So the well wasn't mentioned in there, that well for the district and the cave that was covered with big boulders, because that's written in written history why they had to switch from the li'ili ones to do the big one. That was all put in there.
I'm not sure if that was mentioned in the AIS. I didn't read the whole AIS. We're focusing on burials, and so I know in the AIS the burials weren't mentioned.
But the burials are in the cave. So how could that not been as and the main water? I mean, what lineal descendants did they talk to?
You know, I'm more than happy to send the AIS to the council members, and I can send it to you as well, and you can review it. And
that if would
you
be good.
Something in there, you can bring it up to the council later.
Okay.
So the other thing I want to make a suggestion on is maybe mm-hmm. have Shala work with us too, as well, joining you guys, since she's the one that seems to be the, you know, making the descendancy claim, and she mm-hmm. seemed like she had a lot of knowledge on the property. Mm-hmm. So maybe you guys might want to wrap her into the conversation as well.
Yeah, she has been in the conversation. But Shala, do you want anything? Anybody else want to say anything? They're in there, the phone, because the phones echo. so Kalama and mahalo you guys for all that you do.
Let me just finish off by also saying, I think what everybody's trying to get at, both us and the council, is that thus far, the the process has been followed. Our process isn't always the greatest, but the process has been followed in that there's a development happening. Part of the requirement to do that development was to complete an AIS. These AISs were completed. They were accepted by SHPD. Therefore, SHPD signed off to say the development can happen. AISs are not perfect. You know, burials can still be discovered. That's where inadvertence comes from. But what everybody's trying to get at is the process was followed. Whether or not there are discrepancies is another, you know, that's an issue that's worth looking into, but the process was followed. And so, you know, that's what we have to work off of. You know, sending out a cease and desist, the one, SHPD doesn't have the power to send out a cease and desist. But we know who to contact to send those out. But the reason those are hard to send out is, you know, again, the process was followed. They're not doing illegal grading and grubbing. They're doing permitted grading and grubbing, or, you know, whatever work they did, it was permitted work.
So when we showed that cave and they still continued, and they came out and they showed that cave.
Having a cave on the property doesn't mean the property is undevelopable.
I understand that, but we made sure that we did protocol. They were there. Mm-hmm. We did protocol. We left a whole poo-poo and then continued to try to call you guys and every ways, leeward planning everywhere. And kept that whole poo-poo in there. What did they do with that whole poo-poo?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Right. And that was obviously, I mean, I know that there's different grades of archaeologists, and I know this is a NAGPRA also violation here. It's a section 106, but what did they?
This isn't a NAGPRA violation. This doesn't involve federal lands.
I mean, I've sat in the NAGPRA trainings too, anyway.
Hold on. Let me take control of this again. I think we said enough as a council, and you guys already have at least a pathway of how you should work. You know, we want to include Charlotte in the next conversation, but right now we're not going to get anywhere else. I mean, we went as far as we can go right now. So if, like Law suggested, you know, get the graves or whatever, the EV, get all of that done. And then, you know, like I said, there's a long process. And when it comes to the borough council, you know, we're at the end of that line. So right now you guys still talking before or after, or even generations down the road. So just get all the homework done, and we can study the AIS. And when you guys come and want to present again before us, at least we have a better working knowledge of what you guys are talking about. So I think we can end this conversation, and hopefully everything works out to your satisfaction, and especially like I said, always say, you know, to the satisfaction of protecting our EV. That's our main concern.
Mahalo.
I want to thank you guys for showing up.
Thank you so much. Thank you, La. Mahalo nui.
Mahalo. Okay. Moving along here. Well. Hey, I'm afraid to say this. The next HIBC meeting is April 20th, 9:30 a.m. Anyone want to make a motion to adjourn?
I'll move to adjourn.
Okay.
Second
by Kalena. All in favor, raise your hand. All right. See you guys later. Good job, Kale. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Aloha.
All right. Aloha.